Amen. Praise the Lord. We never want to lose sight of what he has done. What a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. Sunday morning, we remembered the resurrection. And I trust that was an encouragement and a challenge as well to never lose sight of the resurrection. It plays a part in every area of life. If you can just remember the resurrection, good things happen. Good things happen when you remember the resurrection. Well, in order for there to be a resurrection, there had to be a crucifixion. And tonight we are going to be taking communion. Here in chapter 11, Jesus established it and then revealed to Paul to pin it to the New Testament church as he was directed by the Holy Spirit of God to write this letter to 1 Corinth, and it was to be carried out through all the churches of the church age. And chapter 11, so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read this because this gives us the order and the understanding of the ordinance of the New Testament communion. The Bible says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord." That's critically important that Paul wanted you to understand. This is not my design. This is God's design. "Which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now that's what we're revealing and showing, as how often is left up to that individual local New Testament church. "But this is what you do. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread," now he's given instructions on who is to partake of it, "and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, outside the will of God, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself within the church, examining yourself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, what a precious day it has been. And now as we assembled here tonight, just the blessings of your presence, the message of song. Now as we've studied and we've read this passage of scripture, how we need to have a better understanding of it. And so I pray that you would open up hearts and minds to be receptive to the truths of your word. Pray that you'd empower the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. "This do in remembrance of me." As a church, Jesus established this ordinance, one of two ordinances that Jesus gave the church, to be carried out for the duration of the church age. It would have been established by the Lord Jesus, carried out in the first century church and every church since that time, until even up to now, this 21st century church age. The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be remembered. That bread that we eat would represent the body. Now, it does not turn into the body. That's Jesus presented it himself while he was still in the body. It does not turn into the body. It does not turn into the blood, but it's symbolic of the body and the blood, which is the sinless sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And we are to remember that sacrifice. As we remember that sacrifice, I think it's important that we know and remember all about the crucifixion. Understanding what the crucifixion represented. So just for a few minutes here before we partake of the communion, I want to spend a little time in helping us to know and to remember about the crucifixion. The first thing you need to know about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was that it was predetermined by God. It was not something that Jesus established when he was here just before he would ascend into heaven. It was something that when Adam sinned, he incurred the penalty of sin, which is separation from God. That took place way back in the very beginning. That was Adam, mankind. And God understood, because he said, if you sin, you shall surely die. He could not go back. He could not be God and to go back on his word. But what he could do is present himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for sins. Without going back and studying the book of Genesis, and you know the fall of Adam and Eve, and we're very much aware of that because of the fall of Adam, because of his sin, because at that point then he took on a sin nature, and the sin nature separated him from God. It also started something that he was not created to do, and that was to die. Sin is the reason why we have to face death. Adam's sin brought upon the penalty of sin, and that is death, separation from God, and at some point a physical death. And God predetermined how he could replace Adam on the cross to die in his stead. What great love. Matthew chapter 16, this is something that Jesus taught the disciples while he was here. He taught them that this was predetermined. He wanted to help them to understand all the different things that God had designed for humanity. All through the Old Testament, it was designed. It was designed without even the Old Testament saints realizing that there was going to be a church age. But it would take a church age for Jesus to come as that sacrificial lamb. And so as we look here in Matthew chapter 16, let me get over there myself. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Jesus here said, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So Jesus, knowing this when he came, when he was in the womb of the virgin womb of Mary, he realized why he was coming. He has always known that he was God. There was never a time when Jesus was not aware that he was Almighty God. And so in revealing to the disciples, he revealed to them that this was predetermined. This was a plan that God himself put in place out of a love for humanity. He knew this to be part of why he came. His whole life he knew this was part of why he came. It was in the prophets. We study some of that this morning. It was in the prophets, it was in the Psalms, it's in the Old Testament. They didn't fully understand it, but he pointed them back to the prophets and he pointed them back to the Psalms, and then he presented it himself that this was a design plan. A designed plan which was predetermined by God that he would send his only begotten son to the cross of Calvary. But not to remain there. But after 3 days, after he was crucified and buried, he would resurrect on the third day. Predetermined. Predetermined. The second thing that we need to know and remember about the crucifixion, and not only was it predetermined, but it was voluntary. It was voluntary. John chapter 10. Over in the book of John in chapter 10. Verse 15. Jesus again helping his disciples and preparing them for the day that he would go to the cross by the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He was a shepherd, presenting himself as a shepherd of the sheep being humanity. I lay my life down for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. He was not forced. Satan did not have the victory. Jesus willingly, yeah, as it was predetermined, he voluntarily laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It was the plan of God. It was an understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were all three there in creation of humanity. And man was created in the likeness and the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So they predetermined, and Jesus voluntarily left the confines of heaven, placed himself in the weakness of the flesh, a physical body, where he could experience death. The third thing that we need to remember to know and remember about the crucifixion is that it was substitutionary. Romans in chapter 5. If he was not a sinner and the wages of sin is death, he did not need to die for himself. For he never committed one sin. The only thing that was different about the body of Christ is he did not have a sin nature, because he did not have an earthly father. The sin nature is passed down through the blood. And the blood that flowed through the veins of Christ was holy, sinless, the blood of God. Wow, that's powerful. He was substitutionary. Romans in chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, couldn't save ourselves, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly couldn't save themselves. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, we deserve to be on the cross of Calvary. We deserve the penalty of sin, which is death. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It was substitutionary. We deserve hell, the penalty, the wages of sin. And the only reason that we do not have to, and we will not have to pay for that, is because Jesus paid it for us. He paid it. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might be reconciled to an almighty God. Never lose sight of that. To know and remember about the crucifixion, and remembering the body and the blood, the last thing that we need to know and remember, his sacrifice was redemptive. Galatians in chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. Predetermined? Yes. Voluntarily? Yes. Substitutionary? It was. But the greatest thing for us to understand, it was redemptive. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, it was predetermined. And when the time was come on earth, when the time was come with everything that God knew that would take place on earth, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. To be redeemed. Yeah. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, than an heir of God through Christ. There's no other way that we could have been redeemed. There's not a better plan for redemption. As we remember the body and the blood of Christ, remember, it brought to me salvation. What a special opportunity we have here tonight to do in remembrance of him as we acknowledge sacrifice and what it means. I trust that you're ready to be able to let it be a blessing to you to draw closer to the Lord. We've read the warnings that the Bible gives us. This is not something to play around with. Parents, you determine whether you think your children understand being worthy. None of us are worthy, but being worthy is in the will of God. If you're of the age of accountability, that you're saved. If you've been saved, that you follow the Lord. You're looking to follow the Lord. If you have not already followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you are part of the local New Testament church. You want to be able to be discipled and to serve the Lord. That's just being in the will of God. That's what you need to be. Primarily for the church, we do not dictate. We let a man examine himself. But examine yourself. If there's anything between you and the Savior that would hinder you from taking communion, confess and forsake it beforehand. And then once you have, this do in remembrance of the sacrifice that was made. A sacrifice that was predetermined, that is voluntary, that was substitutionary. And praise God, it was redemptive. If I could have every head bowed, I'm going to ask the deacons to go out and bring the communion in. Or they're getting ready to pass that the altar's open. If you need to come to this altar for any reason at all, if there's anything that would be a hindrance to you in drawing closer to the Lord through communion, then bring it to the altar at this point. If you don't want to come to the altar, you can do what you need to do right where you're at. Just make sure between you and God there is nothing between you. Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that I presented it the way that you would have me to present it. And now I pray that you would help each one here to be able to prepare themselves and remember as you would have them to remember the sacrifices made by our Lord and Savior. Bless in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.